Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Off and rolling on a Wednesday, August 21st, 2024 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C_Dunning929. Connor, how's it going?
I've taken a short break from watching the Zach Edey, John Morant video to do the show with you. Okay. So I hope you can acknowledge the sacrifice that
you are making.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will discuss it, though. We will discuss it.
Oh, yes, we will.
Also, know what I want to discuss right here? Did you see Penny Hardaway got yesterday?
I did see that.
What the hell is going on? 26 pairs of one-of-a-kind foam posits taken directly off the front porch of Penny Hardaway.
Didn't even cover your face either?
Yeah, and it's just,
what are we doing?
It looks like some white guy in a black wife beater, some gray pants, and he had a freaking shopping cart that he stacked like four boxes on top. Know what gets me about Memphis criminals sometimes? Like people that steal, like the porch pirates. How bold they are. I told you the story about, it was a couple months ago, I had some people come by my house and just take my front porch furniture. Took like 12 minutes, broad daylight. They backed into my neighbor's driveway and just packed up an entire couch and a ottoman. This one, So, walking up to a $4.2 million house and taking 26 pairs of shoes, just so bold. In broad daylight, too. Didn't give a damn about the cameras. And I will say this. Memphis police are asking if you recognize the man that stole the 26 pairs of shoes from Penny Hardaway, contact him immediately. He made it easy, though. Like, it's very visible. You can tell who it is. Someone knows who that guy is.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. Now, we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on overreaction, not an overreaction. Zach Edey and John Morant were in the lab. That's going to be fun to discuss. We'll also have some week zero discussion. college football discussion in general. As far as guests are concerned, 4:30, Colton Denning will join the show. And he's going to be a regular throughout college football season, Wednesdays at 4:30. He's from Two Stripes CPD. He also has a YouTube channel. If you are a college football nostalgia guy, make sure you go to that YouTube channel. But he is going to produce his 25 predictions for the college football season coming up on Friday. So make sure you subscribe to Two Stripes CPD, and we'll get some of those predictions from him at 4:35 o'clock. David Cobb will join from CBS Sports. We'll talk some college football with him as well, but he covers college basketball. We'll see if we'll get into any Tigers at that point. 6 o'clock, Chris Vanini will join. He is the senior college football writer for The Athletic. So we're going to be very college football-centric and heavy today. Also, around 5:30, we're going to play a little game, a little this or that. This or that. We'll get to some Grizzlies topics. We'll talk about one that I really want to discuss. It's about dynasties. There's one about dynasties that I want to get to. But we'll hop into the Blitz at 6:30 right after Chris Vanini. Plenty to get to there. And then we'll wrap up the show with the Rewind right around 6:50. But as we do every single Wednesday, let's go ahead and open up the show. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe, we got a Zach Edey, John Morant video from the lab. That duo is going to set the Western Conference on fire. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. Yeah, what are we talking about, man? If you've seen this video, it's absolutely nuts. It's absolutely insane to see it. Zach Edey around regular-sized people, it's just like, it's unfair. It just doesn't make any sense. It boggles the mind. He is a massive human being.
Even around NBA players, he is still a massive human being.
He makes John Morant, who is 6'3", look like not a full-size human.
He makes you look like me.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But seeing, like, the pick and roll, I know they were just doing it on, like, random bodies in the gym. I think Trey Draper was there. But it's unbelievable.
They had bags, too.
Yeah, they had bags, and they had, like, the little thing that you hack the big with, like the little
so
stick.
So it was first-team all-defense they were going up against.
It was a great look. They were getting a great look. But seeing them try to get early work in the offseason with the pick and roll that they're going to definitely highlight during the regular season is going to be phenomenal. And it's nice to see they're already in the lab going and doing that. But, like, seeing what Zach Edey can do at the rim, seeing Ja Morant and what he's going to be able to unlock with a guy like Zach Edey, with the offensive ability he has, it's nice. Now, obviously, I'm a little tongue-in-cheek. This is a freaking video that we saw in the offseason, and they're not even doing an open run. They're just practicing in general. So setting the Western Conference on fire, I hope they do that. I don't necessarily, I'm not completely sold that it's going to happen. Zach Edey definitely has to show us something against real competition once he gets into the regular season. But what I do think about this duo and this situation is Steven Adams, probably the best screen setter in the league. And he freed up Ja Morant more than anyone we've seen in the past, way more than Jonas Valanciunas. But when you look at Zach Edey, the ability he has on the offensive end, the role, that's something Steven Adams didn't possess. So Ja Morant's, assist numbers may skyrocket this year. I think he'll be a lot more free in that mid-range area to knock down a floater or a mid-range jump shot. I think very highly of this duo going into the regular season as a pick-and-roll combo. We'll see how high they can put themselves up there, but I think Zach Edey will be among the top, sort of the leaders in the NBA, even in his rookie season in screen assists.
Yeah, like, you don't want to overreact too much to it, but I right. do have to ask you, so should the parade begin on Beale Street, or should it end on Beale Street?
Sure, yeah. I don't know. I think it should end on Beale
Probably
Street.
Probably end, right?
Yeah, end at FedEx Forum.
End at the FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's correct. But no, I agree with everything that you said. It's a really exciting video to see, and I do think that this duo has a lot of possibilities, a lot of potential. With Ja Morant, he has always had a very good screen setter in Steven Adams. And I think, though, with Zach Edey, you just get a bit of a different wrinkle to it. He's not, as good of a screen setter as Steven Adams is, but I don't think that's the expectation for him. I think the reason it's so exciting is that it's the first time really that he has a role man that has a bit of an offensive bag. And when you throw it to Zach Edey, not only could he put the ball in the hoop, but he's also pretty good at passing out of the post. So you just have so many more different options off of a pick and roll when you have somebody like Zach Edey. And if he turns out to be the player that we think he can be, it just feels like sky's the limit on the offensive end for the Grizzlies, especially when the last few seasons, what has been the big criticism or the big, you know, thing that people have been looking at and saying that absolutely has to improve for the Grizzlies? It's been the half-court offense.
Yep.
And having a player like Zach Edey paired up with a superstar like John Morant can certainly open up your options on the offensive end.
One thing that we're going to have to see from John Morant is he's going to have to operate really well from that mid-range area and get his floaters sort of knocked down and get them all honed in, which he's been really good at in the past. But think about a pick and roll with Zach Edey and John Morant. Most of the guys guarding John Morant are going to be 6'5 and under to try to stick with him, because his first step is ridiculous. Anybody over that height usually cannot stay with him when he gets going. So you're going to see a lot of drop coverage from other teams, because you cannot get into a situation where you don't have somebody at the rim to guard Zach Edey and contest a shot. You don't want to get into a situation where Zach Edey peels a guy off of John Morant and you switch a 6'3" man onto Zach Edey. That is an immediate bucket, automatic bucket. So I think John Morant is going to have to take it upon himself, and I think we've seen some clips of it, but he's going to have to take it upon himself to be a lot better from that mid-range area. Not just the floater, but when he gets that drop coverage and they're playing way off of him, he's got to be able to knock it down from the free throw line extended.
And speaking of Zach Edey and John Morant, later on in This and That, or This or That, I have a fun one for you.
Yeah,
I have a fun one for you. I haven't necessarily told you what it was, but I told you that it's going to involve those two players, so I'm excited to get to that. But okay, moving on. In honor of week zero of college football, I want to hear your answer to the question everyone has been asking about the top of the sport: Ohio State and Georgia or the field? So, either Ohio State or Georgia will be the national champions this season. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay, they have a really good case. And I'm there with both of those teams. They're both national title favorites. But I'm going to say overreaction. I think there's a lot more competition outside of them than we're sort of viewing here on the surface. Alabama is going to be a team that is under the radar, a little undervalued right this second. I know that's crazy to talk about Alabama football in that realm, but Jalen Milroe is going to be really good. That defense is going to be solid. They made some additions in that secondary to replace Caleb Downs, who went to Ohio State. Damani Jackson from USC. They still have Malachi Moore over there. I think Alabama's a team that I'm going to pay attention to very, very closely when it comes to winning a natty this year. Also, Oregon. There should be no reason we're discounting Oregon. They've gotten way better on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in probably one of the best corners in the entire collegiate landscape in Jabbar Muhammad. They brought him over as a transfer. Dylan Gabriel is one of the most experienced, great quarterbacks in college football right now. That team is going to be unbelievable on offense. They might be the best offense in the NCAA. You have Evan Stewart. You have, talk about all these guys that they have. This Silas Bolden, like, they have a bunch of guys that they can throw to. Terrence Ferguson, their tight end's really good. Their offensive line, I think, is ready to take the step into the Big Ten. This team is very damn good. So I'm not just going to say Georgia or Ohio State, because I think that there are teams that are capable outside of them that I could see knocking them off. I think an Ohio State-Oregon matchup, which we'll see this year, would be awesome to watch, and I think Oregon could potentially win that game. And Alabama versus Georgia, I don't know how you can just discount and say Georgia would get over top. In the SEC championship last year, what happened, right? Alabama was able to get there. Georgia's left out of the college football playoff. So I really believe in Ohio State and Georgia, and certainly Ohio State. They have to get it done this year, or Ryan Day is going to be on the hottest of hot seats. But I think there's more at the top of the sport than we're giving credit for right this second. Those are the two best rosters, but I think there are rosters that can compete with them. And we'll see if Texas can make a name for themselves. I'm a little out on Texas. I'm a little more hesitant than most people. But I think when you look at Oregon and Alabama, those are just as capable. Those teams are just as capable of winning a national title as Ohio State and Georgia, in my opinion.
Two things off of that. One, how crazy is it that the job security at Ohio State basically hinges on your ability to win a national championship.
It's not crazy.
It's a bit crazy. No, it's crazy in the context of college football as a whole. Like, at Ohio State, it makes sense. But when you're talking about a coach and you're like, if he doesn't win the title, he might get fired, that's just wild to think about with the success that he has actually had. Like, when you look at his numbers, when you look at his record, he wins 11 games every year. No, that's what I mean. If on paper you handed this to somebody and said, hey, this coach is going to get fired next year unless he makes it to the national championship, and to be quite honest, unless he wins that championship game, people would be like, this guy? Really? That's just wild when you think about it. But two, I do want to ask you, how much does the expanded college football playoff go into this question for you? Because if it was still four teams, you would almost have to take Ohio State and Georgia. But with the expansion, it feels safer to take the field.
Right. What it does for me is the attrition of the whole thing is going to be something to monitor the entire season.
Right.
You could have teams playing 15, 16 games.
You're playing
a full NFL-type schedule. So you're going to have to pay attention to who's hurt. And I like Georgia and Ohio State, they have great rosters, but who's saying they don't have a massive injury at some point? Like, that happens. This is football, ultimately. And we see in the NFL all the time, we see it in the NBA, the teams that are the most healthy end up winning championships. And I think with the expanded playoff, with the amount of games that we're going to be playing, that's what changes for me, is the attrition. That's something we're going to have to pay attention to a whole lot closer. I still think it's going to be like the same, you know, four, five, six teams every single year in a 12-team or a 14-team format. But you're going to have to pay attention to those injuries a whole lot more, because this is a lot of football that these guys are playing. They're not used to this at this particular moment.
So do you think Oregon, Texas, Alabama are the next step, the teams that you think could take them down?
Yes, I do. And I'm close with Ole Miss. Very close.
Are they dark horse territory, or are they more?
They're dark horse territory for me to go win a natty. I think they'll be in the playoff. Hell, I think they could win a game in the playoff. But I just want to see. You have the SEC bodies up front. You brought in the guy from Florida, defensive end, who had 7 sacks last year. You have Walter Nolan up there. But what does that second line look like? When you have to do those platoon swaps on the defensive side of the ball, are you going to be able to live the right way? Are you going to be able to stop the run the same way? Are you going to get after the passer the same way? Because teams like Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, they can do platoon swaps and not miss a beat with all the tempo that's being played. I just want to see if Ole Miss has the depth like these other teams, but I'm very close. Their top-end talent, I think, is very close to those other teams that we've already mentioned.
Do you have anyone outside of the top 10 that could make a run?
Outside of the top 10?
Yeah.
Clemson, maybe? But I, you know how I feel about Clemson.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one outside of the top 10. I'll tell you a team that I'm really high on inside the top 10. That's Penn State. The James Franklin factor of not winning big games and never winning a game that he's not favored in when he's a dog. He just never wins those games.
That's wild.
That's the problem. That's the problem with them.
Just skipped right over Notre Dame.
But, yeah, I'm not.
No.
I don't know. I'm not going to worry about them right now. But Penn State, really good backs. Catron Allen, Nick Singleton. Drew Aller, 5-star quarterback a couple years ago. I keep saying he's sort of the J.J. McCarthy for James Franklin, like J.J. McCarthy was for Jim Harbaugh. Defense really good. Abdul Carter, one of the best defensive ends in the country. I think they have the depth and the talent to go do it. But again, it's just like there's certain coaches around the country that you're always going to be skeptical of. You're always going to sit there and say, are they actually going to win the big game? Mario Cristobal fits that category. James Franklin fits that category. Ryan Day, to a certain extent, fits that category. I just think the roster he has this year is just ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. It's the best one he's ever had. So I would say Penn State's another dark horse, but I think we sort of do it. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, and maybe right there Ole Miss. Those top six teams in the country, I could all see them winning a natty this year.
So if I gave you the top five versus the field, you would take the top five?
Yes, I would take the top five.
Fair enough. Why? Just one more question before we move on. Even though they are ranked number 10 in most polls, the AP poll, coaches poll, whatever you look at, why do you think people are so mixed on Florida State this year?
Mixed?
It seems like there's a lot of, I mean, a lot of the guests that we have had on the show have been like,
I don't even know if it's mixed.
That might be shaky, it would be Florida State.
I don't even know if it's mixed. I think most people have the opinion about them that we're giving them the benefit of the doubt for going 13-0 last year heading into the bowl season getting snubbed in the college football playoff. Everybody's giving benefit of the doubt. I don't know if talent-wise they're a top 10 team this year. I'm sorry. Like, DJU, I got to see that, brother. I got to see that.
Is that the biggest factor?
Wide receivers, you don't have Johnny Wilson.
Don't have Keon Coleman.
No 1,000-yard receivers right now. Like, you have Malik Benson. We'll see what that looks like. I'm sorry. I can't do it right now. And then on the defensive side, you don't have Jared Verse anymore. Lost a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know. I think this top 10 ranking they got is way more a product of what they did last year than what they are this year.
Sorry for what happened. Here's a top 10. Is that kind of what's going on here?
Kind of. I think we'll be able to tell really quickly this weekend what Florida State's made of. That line keeps coming down, by the way.
What is it?
And right now, 10.5.
Oh, wow.
10.5. Georgia Tech, 10.5 point dogs.
Huh.
But Georgia Tech was a decent. They've gotten better.
They're scrappy.
Brent Key knows how to coach defense. Haynes King, decent with his legs, decent with his arm. Okay quarterback. It's a better situation than they've had in years. But 10.5 for a top 10 team against Georgia Tech, that's just. It doesn't seem like what it should be. If they're actually a top 10 team, it should probably be a wider spread than that.
Fair enough. All right, next up. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski called Patrick Mahomes the Steph Curry of the NFL. He said, "You know how Steph changed basketball? I think Mahomes is changing football." This is a fair comparison. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay. I'm going to preface this by saying Patrick Mahomes, what I've seen him do in the National Football League at the quarterback position supersedes just about any level of talent I've seen at that particular position, including Tom Brady. Tom Brady was just a hell of a winner, very accomplished. But I got to say this is an overreaction. What Steph Curry did to change basketball, it was revolutionary. You had teams like the Grit and Grind Grizzlies that didn't shoot three balls like that, didn't score a lot of points. They wouldn't be able to really exist the exact same way after Steph Curry and this Warriors dynasty. He changed the game to the point where three-point shooters like Sam Hauser, who can't even barely dribble a basketball or play defense most of the time, is making $45 million a year. The three-point ball rules all now. There was never an era of basketball before Steph Curry where the three-point ball meant as much as it does today. With Patrick Mahomes, I get it. He is very fun to watch. He threw a behind-the-back pass. He, like what he does, scrambling out of the pocket, making things happen downfield, finding Travis Kelce in the scramble drill. It is so fun to watch. But are we really fooling ourselves into believing we've never seen somebody with that type of gunslinger mentality before? Brett Favre existed. Hell, Aaron Rodgers existed. Still exists, still in the NFL. Like, there have been guys that have thrown for 5,000 yards and upwards of 40-some-odd touchdowns per year. I get the point of, like, it's a copycat league and everybody's sort of chasing the new Patrick Mahomes, and Caleb Williams is supposed to be tabbed that guy. But whoever is the best quarterback, we always try to chase that. When Tom Brady was ruling the world, every 6'5 white guy that played in the Big Ten was getting, or at Stanford even, was getting drafted in the top 10. So it's always been a copycat league that way. But no, when we talk about the differences that Steph Curry made to the game of basketball versus Patrick Mahomes and the differences he's made for the game of football, I don't even think it's particularly close. We've seen guys drop back, air the ball out in the National Football League before. Patrick Mahomes just does it better than a lot of those guys. I don't think he has changed the game the way Steph Curry has changed the NBA.
Yeah, I think he's just the best version of it thus far.
Yes, and that's fine to say.
But Steph, he changed the way teams operated. Steph was so impactful that he basically eliminated an entire position from the league. Like, if you traditional bigs couldn't really stay in the league after Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Like, go ask Roy Hibbert.
People lost jobs because of Steph Curry. And some people, like a bunch of three-point shooter specialists made their money off of Steph Curry.
100%.
Like, listen, I love Patrick Mahomes, and he's changed the fortunes for the Chiefs for the better. And he's done a lot to, you know, advance the game. He's the biggest superstar we have in the National Football League. But we have seen players like this before, just not at his level and consistency.
Right. I've used this comparison a lot, the T-800 to the T-1000 from the Terminator series. Like, for instance, with Nikola Jokic, I said that he's kind of the T-1000 version of Marc Gasol's T-800. With Patrick Mahomes, he's just the T-1000 version, yes, of, like, Michael Vick. Like, it's just, or he, like, something like,
yeah,
that. Or a gunslinger.
Brett Favre, whatever.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, a gunslinger in there. So we've just never seen what Steph Curry was. He showed up and we were like, oh my God. And it completely changed the way basketball is played. He changed, yes, the way the game was played. Patrick Mahomes just takes a specific skill set to the absolute pinnacle of what it can be, but he hasn't changed the way that football operates.
Yeah, and football's cyclical in the way, like, people will say, well, since he's come in the league, there's way more too high safety looks. Well, we've had too high safety looks before. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won in the early 2000s running a Tampa 2, right? You know, like, so it's like, what has been done by Patrick Mahomes is revolutionary in the fact that this is another dynasty, mm-hmm, that we get to talk about when we look back at history. But I don't think it's revolutionary in the fact that it has changed the way we play football altogether. We got into a pass-happy era even before Patrick Mahomes was in
that is true.
The National Football
League. That is very
league.
True.
I mean, Drew Brees was throwing for 5,000 yards a year for years and years and years with the Saints before Patrick Mahomes ever got into the league. So I get, to a certain extent, Kevin Stefanski's point about, like, okay, maybe you could compare him to Steph Curry and the fact of, like, consistent greatness, and he's that transcendent of a player. But when we talk about the big picture of how football is played, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes has changed it nearly as much as Steph Curry.
Well, because I still think, too, teams are still selecting players that aren't of the Patrick Mahomes archetype.
Yeah.
And that just kind of shows you right there.
Yeah, yeah. Just got to find a good quarterback. It's that simple. And we had in the NFC Championship last year, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, it's Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes archetype?
Don't think so. Brock Purdy and Jared Goff were in the NFC Championship last year. So
I'm not sure we would say they are a version of Patrick Mahomes.
No, not even close. So I just think we've seen players like this before. He's just better. He's just a better version of it. And he can make more plays downfield, off platform. It's not that complicated.
This is an odd question. I'm kind of hitting you on the spot with it. Who is the closest to Mahomes? Like archetype-wise, not talent-wise.
Oh, just, archetype-wise? Yeah. The guy who just came in the league, Caleb Williams.
That's okay.
If we're going into the past,
I guess, let me rephrase it, from last year, like, don't include Caleb Williams, because that's the obvious answer. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Jordan Love? Is it?
I guess C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud?
Yeah. Can use his leg when he wants to, but he doesn't want to do that.
Daniel Jones? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That's a tough question. That's a tough question. Patrick Mahomes is unto himself. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But I think there's some quarterbacks that Caleb Williams has the chance to be, you know, similar type.
I can't get over that that throw to Rome was crazy. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
On the move, cross body, just dropped it in. Oh.
Yeah, 100%.
It was that moment of, you ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where Frank's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep.
It was that moment.
Yeah. It's wild to see. But it looks like he's not going to play preseason week 3.
Probably doesn't need to.
No. Why would he? He looked good through 2 weeks. Get to the regular season, move on with your lives. He was already the starter coming in. You don't even need to make that announcement. Now, later we will talk about some quarterbacks that have been named starters, including the guy that I almost crowned on Monday. That would be Bo Nix. But we need to go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, need to talk some college football with my guy from Two Stripes CPD. That would be Colton Denning. He's next. Colton Denning. He's got a YouTube channel for all you college football fanatics. You get all the nostalgia you need out of it. Just posted something about Adrian Peterson and his long runs against Oklahoma State. But also, he is the main contributor to Two Stripes CPD. You can follow them on X at Two Stripes CPD. And you can follow him on X at Dubsco. Colton, what's happening, my brother? Football's here.
I've been dealing with a bunch of nonsense today, Gabe, but What
football
nonsense.
Is here, and that makes me feel better. Just day to day, you know, work, regular nonsense. But I'm looking at the schedule right now. I see we got four college football games lined up, and that makes all my worries and problems go away.
No, I hear you. I hear you, my man. I hear you. Now, I have to give you credit because I had a lot of fun with your one of your more recent articles you put out on Two Stripe CPD. You did haikus for every single all 134 FBS college football teams. I like some of these. You have, let's see. I'll read the Alabama one. You had Nick's reign is over. They aren't going anywhere. DeBoer is for real. I keep going down. Let's see here. You had Clemson, Dabo, no portal, his team. Okay, more losses, everyone, ha-ha. Colorado, are you going to cry? Attention they get irks you? Poor baby, go Buffs. You do the best sicko work in America. I can tell you that right now.
This is three straight years I've done the haiku preview, and I mean, you know me, man. It's just because I'm insane, and there's really no other way for me to preview the season. And I'm not a guy who can do like 10,000 words on every team, and I'm not at these practices. I'm not even keeping up with my teams every day when it comes to fall practices. So you know, you gotta hit them with something different. So the haiku preview, I just run back to that every year.
Yeah, now you have predictions. You have 25 predictions coming up on Friday. Can you give us a little preview?
Yes,
what are we looking at?
Okay, you want a 2-for-1 here, because the first part of this really, it's not spicy, but and you can tell me whether the second part of it is a little hot takey or spicy, and help me out here. But on one of these, I think it's no secret that Billy Napier is probably on the hottest seat in the country of Florida, right? And when you look at their schedule, they start off with a huge game against Miami at home. And in those first couple months, they play Texas A&M. That one is at the very least a toss-up. And then play at Tennessee, UCF, and then Georgia on November 2nd in the cocktail party. I think Billy Napier will be fired before they play LSU on November 16th.
Mm.
And I think best case scenario for Florida, you know, everything goes right and, you know, their pieces gel together. I think that they're best case 5-2 by the time they get done with that Georgia game. And then they get into the brutal stretch where they finish with at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and then at Florida State to end the season. But realistically, they're probably going to be around 4-4, and if things go wrong, 3-5. I think things probably go wrong, and they're 3-5, and Billy Napier is fired. That's the part that I don't think is crazy. The second part of this, where you could tell me if I'm a little off my rocker here, I think at this time next year when we're talking, Dan Lanning will be the head coach of the Florida Gators.
Oh, wow. What makes you say that? It seems like he's pretty damn happy at Oregon.
I think he's happy, and look, this is one where I'm just throwing it out there. This isn't like, again, I'm not a guy with sources. I'm just a college football fan. But I see a guy who spent 5 years in the SEC, one as an analyst at Alabama, and then four on the defensive staff at Georgia. And despite all the money that Nike and Phil Knight are pumping into Oregon's recruiting, I still think at the end of the day, Oregon's always going to have to deal with getting kids to come to Eugene. And that's not to say that Eugene isn't an awesome place to go to school. It's beautiful. But you're still having to get kids, top-level kids, who for the most part are, you know, going to come from areas.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That are either Southern California if you're on the west, Texas in the Midwest, and then from the south, you're going to have to bring those kids all the way to Eugene, and that's always going to be difficult, no matter the NIL or anything sure. else that Oregon can offer. And I think for Lanning, having that SEC experience, and now in the 12-team playoff, you're not going to have to deal with, oh man, I got to play Georgia every year. Because you can lose that game. You can play against Georgia, Alabama, Texas, wherever, and you don't have to win all of those games anymore. And you can be at a place like Florida that doesn't, it may not have the unlimited money that Oregon does with Nike, but it's still Florida, and it's in a talent-rich state. You're not going to have to deal with those hurdles that you do at a place like Oregon. And I think that coming back to the SEC is going to be something that's too much for him to pass up, too good of a deal for him to pass up. So do I think this is likely? Absolutely not. But right. That's my one bold prediction, is that Dan Lanning goes back to the SEC and is Florida.
That is bold. That is bold. You know, the more natural thought there, and it depends on what he would want to, do going from an SEC program to an SEC program. But Lane Kiffin always has kind of made sense in that Florida conversation. And he came up last time, but he'd have to decide to leave Ole Miss and what he's built there. I know sweat equity means a whole lot.
No matter what, I think that what if Billy Napier is ultimately fired and Florida goes a different route, I don't think they're going to follow that up with another, hey, we've seen what this guy does at a G5. He's a program builder. Let's bring him in. I think that decision makers are at Florida, yes, that's going to be a big fish hire.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, predictions-wise, I have to ask you about this. Did you do any group of five predictions? You had 25 of them.
I did.
Okay. What do we have there?
Well, we talked about this the last time I was on the show. I'm picking Memphis to be in that G5 spot. So that's the overall prediction, is that Memphis makes the playoff. And you and your listeners could tell me more about Memphis than I can tell you guys about Memphis and what they do. But we talked about that Florida State game and how it's basically a no-lose for Memphis no matter what they do, unless they lost by like 60. And I don't think any of us think that that's going to be the case. But outside of that, I think, when it comes to G5, it'll be a battle between them, Boise State. We just saw that Malachi Nelson isn't going to be named the starting quarterback.
That's nuts, isn't it? That's wild.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And that's just a separate conversation about Lincoln Riley and his quarterback evaluations outside of Caleb Williams recently, that maybe we could talk about in season, depending on how USC does.
Yep.
But I think Boise State is in that mix in the Mountain West. And then, of course, the new addition to FBS last year, and they made quite a splash, our buddy Kyren Samuels, alum pumping in money
to
Jacksonville State. They were a really tough physical team last year, and there's nothing that I see from them that makes me think that they're going to fall off. So I think that they're going to be in the mix as well. And you have probably a good five or six teams that I think can not only be in the conversation, but, if you're in that, I guess, what would that matchup be? Your 5-12. If you're that fifth team, like, you don't want to see Memphis. You don't want to see Boise State. Like, you don't want to see any of those teams. So I think, as much as I've said I'm not a big fan of the 12-team playoff, I think that's one of the things that I'm excited to see, is that 5-12. And if you're that team and you're going to get a home game, which is great, But then you got to see, oh, man, we got to play Memphis. We got to play Boise State. That's something that nobody wants to deal with.
You could potentially play tight, uncomfortable, because you feel like you have a whole lot to lose at that particular moment. You may have the talent,
again,
but like you just play
that's
tight.
That's a no-lose. That's a no-lose for a team like Memphis, for a team like Boise State. And it's just added motivation for teams like that who already have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, and by the way, shout-out. I'm glad you brought up Jacksonville State. Shout-out to the ass-kicking chickens and Kyron Samuels. Well done.
They're badass, man. That is a tough team.
Yes, they really are. They really are. Now, I have to ask you about Ohio State. Urban Meyer had some high praise for Ohio State's 2024 roster. We know it's Georgia and Ohio State at the top of the sport. People, you know, fight it out however you will, whoever you think's the better team. But Urban Meyer, who used to coach at Ohio State, said this might be the best roster in college football in the last decade. How true do you think that is?
Look, I'm naturally skeptical about all the teams that I root for. I'm not one of those people who's like overly over the top with positivity and optimism. I can't say that it's the most talented Ohio State team in the last decade, but I do. It's very talented, but I look at a roster like some of the rosters that Georgia's had over the last 5 or 6 years, some of the rosters that Alabama's had. I think that's a conversation that we have to have.
2019 LSU.
All of those teams who have won, I think you can put in that category. But preseason, it's just tough for me to say talent-wise, they're better. Because we haven't seen this current iteration of Ohio State play, especially when you have an addition like Caleb Downs or an addition at quarterback like Will Howard, who I think is a massive upgrade over Kyle McCord, but we have to see how he fits into that system. And you had a guy like Jeremiah Smith, the very highly touted freshman wide receiver. So, I can see if he's saying, hey, in 3 months from now, you'll look back on this and say, wow, that was one of the most talented teams if they end up just running the table and being as good or better than Georgia. But as of right now, I'll pump the brakes on that.
Talking with Colton Denning, Two Stripe CPD is where you can find a lot of his work, most of his work, also his YouTube channel. He's on X at Dubsco. Now, I answered this question a little bit earlier, but I want to get your opinion on this. In the 12-team playoff, I think people discount how much more complicated it makes this question. But Ohio State and Georgia or the field?
Oh, I'm going to go Ohio State and Georgia.
Okay.
Because, and that's mostly because I am so in on Georgia, and somehow they just lost one game at the absolute worst time last year, and I don't think they got screwed by getting left out of the playoff. I don't know how you put them in over Florida State, who was undefeated, or Alabama, who got in when they won the SEC title over them. But I think I don't even want to say people are underrating Georgia because they're the number one team in the country. But if you're Kirby Smart and you're Georgia, it's the perfect situation for them to be in because they're number one, but they still have so much to prove after last year. And we already saw what they did to a depleted Florida State team in that bowl game, but Georgia's going to come into the season, I think, angry, and they're going to make a big statement against Clemson. So I'll go Ohio State and Georgia, mostly because I am that high on Georgia this season.
Yeah,
but there are in that, whatever you want to call it, tier two, there's a lot of really strong teams.
Yeah, like there's two teams that I look at in particular that I think are tough matchups for the top two teams we're talking about, Georgia and Ohio State. Oregon matching up against Ohio State, that's going to be a hell of a damn game, man. Like, that may be the best offense in the country. They've added some things on the defensive side. Probably one of my favorite corners. Now, not the best corner because I think Will Johnson takes the cake for that at Michigan. But Jabbar Muhammad, phenomenal addition in that secondary for Oregon. Then Alabama, like, they lost Caleb Downs, sure, but they've added a whole lot. I don't think that team's any worse than they were a year ago, and they were seconds away from getting over top of Michigan and potentially competing for a national title. I understand that it's no Nick Saban, it's now Kalen DeBoer, but we're not going to fool ourselves into thinking Kalen DeBoer can't get to that that spot that he was in last year with Washington with Alabama. He's won everywhere he's gone. Like, those two teams in particular made me pick the other way. I think that we may have a little bit more, you know, of a conversation as the season goes along about Oregon and Alabama competing with Georgia and Ohio State.
Well, and putting aside, however, people may feel about Ohio State or Alabama, Oregon or Georgia, just as a college football fan, if your Final Four in some order is Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama, I think you can say that we're locked into a pretty nice finish to the college football season.
All right, now we have Florida State, Georgia Tech. I was surprised that this line's at 10.5. How much of the Florida State experience of last year led to this top 10 ranking, in your opinion? Like, AP poll top 10, but, I mean, DJU, got to see it to believe it. They lost their two good wide receivers, and Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. No more Jared Verse. They lost a lot on the defensive side of the ball. How much of this top 10 ranking do you think is truly just last year doing work for them, being 13-0?
Is it just last year doing work for them, or is it also pity, too, from people?
Yeah,
being
that's another
point. You guys should have been... They got screwed. They should have been in the playoff. I mean, Florida State's talent level is still at a spot where you can say, hey, they're one of the most, whatever, 10 or 15, top 20 at the very least talented teams in the country. But I think you're right, especially with DJU, who did have a very nice season at Oregon State last year, but I think he got put in a position where he didn't have to be the main guy. You had Damian Martinez, you had a really sound and strong running game to kind of help boost him up where he had to not do everything. I don't know if that's going to be the case at Florida State this year. And honestly, like, I'm not going to say that Georgia Tech is going to win this game, but after watching Georgia Tech last year, they were so much better than they had been in 2022. And you have a game that's on the whole other side of the planet, and Florida State does have to replace a lot. Like, what would your shock level be if Georgia Tech, if this was a game in the fourth quarter, let alone Georgia Tech?
Oh, it won't be a shock at all. Not even close. I mean, because Brent Key knows how to coach some defense, and Haynes King, you know, he's an experienced quarterback, and he had a decent year last year. I would not be surprised in the slightest. They've brought up that talent level. They look a whole lot more competitive, especially down the stretch in the ACC last year.
Don't we deserve that in a slate that's, hey, it's college football. I know we're all going to watch. It's going to be fun. There's four games, but three of them are Montana State, New Mexico, SMU, which is another one of those dark horse, I think, they're not G5 anymore.
Yeah, they're ACC now.
They have a chance to really make some noise in the ACC. And imagine you get a Florida State loss coupled with a big SMU win against, you know, they should dominate Nevada. But if you're SMU and you look at that and you're thinking, okay, well, now it's just, you know, Miami and Clemson here.
Yep.
We could start to work with something. But I think we deserve an upset to start the college football season, I guess is what I'm saying. So
yeah.
I would love to see Georgia Tech win that game.
Actually, I don't want to see Georgia Tech win that game because I want to see Florida State as highly ranked as possible by the time Memphis goes and faces them on the road.
That makes sense.
Right? I think the ACC is going to be wild, though, right? Big 12 is going to be really up for grabs. ACC, though, like, you have this group of teams, Miami, Florida State, Clemson, then right there you're going to have NC State, Virginia Tech. We'll see if SMU can make some noise. That's going to be something I'm watching very closely.
And that's what I love. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something I talk about in the prediction articles in regards to the Big 12. But I also think it applies to the ACC. And maybe, you know, Miami or Florida State emerges as that clear-cut, hey, we're up there with the Oregons, the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas is a team that's going to contend for one of those top four spots in the playoff. But when you look at both of those conferences, the ACC and the Big 12, what they may not have right now in terms of that, the depth and just the entertainment factor, I think, in both of those conferences goes about 10 teams deep where you can look at a team like Virginia Tech and say, hey, you know, if they catch a couple breaks, they might win 10 games and find a way to sneak into the ACC championship. You look at the Big 12 and the addition of Utah and what Kansas State can do with Avery Johnson at quarterback, and Arizona bringing their guys back, and Brent Brennan, I got a chance to watch his teams out here in San Jose being in the Bay and going to some of those games. There's a lot of really exciting teams in both of those conferences, so what they may lack for in top tier contenders, at least as of right now, they make up for in a lot of exciting depth.
Yep, for sure. Well, I'll say this, enjoy week 0, and we'll catch up next week.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's Colton Denning, Two Stripe CPD. Make sure you go subscribe and also go look at his YouTube channel. Just type in Colton Denning in your search bar, and you get all the college football nostalgia you need. He's on X at Dubsco. Now we need to start up hour number two coming up next. David Cobb will join.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.